comic book lovers. And now, here are your hosts, Peter Page, Justin Dunn.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And welcome to Comic Book Club.
Yeah!
Ooh. And as we were last week, we're kind of working out some audio stuff.
Yep.
Just a couple of things, but that was a spooky Halloween audio thing we were doing.
Yeah, it was really spooky how we were just here. Gotcha.
Yeah, we did. So it was Halloween last night. Did you guys enjoy the Halloween?
Yeah. I don't know. It's losing steam for me as an adult.
Really? How much candy did you get?
I didn't really try. As an adult, you can just buy candy. It was a nice lark as a child to go get it for free. But
I don't know, man. I'm really still into free candy. I love it.
Well, you're an essential hobo, as we've been talking about the past few weeks.
Pete, you were saying you saw a pretty cool costume.
Yeah, this girl in my improv class dressed up as Knives. So I stopped the class to give her a round of applause.
Just his knives, like knives?
Knives from Scott Pilgrim.
Okay, not a big bag of knives.
Why a bag of knives? That seems kind of ridiculous.
That's how you're supposed to keep your knives. And then he goes, I need a knife. Just reach in quickly.
My favorite costume, I went trick-or-treating with my daughter for the first time last night, which was pretty awesome.
Brag.
Sorry. Yeah, that was a real brag.
Where can I
got
get
you
your daughter?
literally anywhere.
Huh? Really?
Yeah, 50% of the time.
Oh, my God.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you keep working
on
that.
I'll take your word.
But we were walking around. My favorite costume, there was this tiny little baby Clark Kent. And it was a baby about this big, just like a foot and a half tall.
Wait, how big?
I don't know, like this big.
That's very tiny.
It was an action figure. It wasn't a baby. But it was a little baby, and he was dressed in glasses, and he had a rumpled suit on, and it was unbuttoned, and you could see the Superman suit underneath it. It was really cute.
Wow.
He was really happy.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure he was happy to be wearing a suit.
But did he understand the Superman mythos and the recent relaunch?
I talked to him about it. I tried to explain that Krypto is dead, et cetera, et cetera, but he was just ignoring me. He said, no, I believe in post-crisis continuity.
Oh, that's nice. I believe in post-crisis continuity.
You have an amazing overestimation of how much people this big can talk.
I had a big mouth as a child.
That's not surprising.
I had a big head as a child, so my mouth matched it.
Guys, I'm very excited about the show that we have tonight. We have a super back show with amazing guests for you here to talk about their book, Shame Itself, from Marvel Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome them out. Tom, Brennan, Sarah, Ben, Costa, Elliot, Kaelin, and Victor Renato!
We put some water on the end. Tom, as editor, you can pass it out if you'd like.
Sure. I choose to do it.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
As editor, pass out two waters instead of three. I don't know. That's just some sort of weird editing joke. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here. Tom, thank you for passing out so many waters. So, guys, you wrote / edited a comic book called Shame Itself, #1. Tom, do you kind of want to intro what the book is, what it's about?
All right, sure, I can do that. Shame Itself is a comedy anthology from Marvel Comics. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, great.
You should all buy it, and somewhere in the realm of 300,000 copies. If you could buy those, that'd be great. Or ask your friends. Yeah.
Do you think one person should buy 300,000 copies?
Yes, I do, because it's all the same money.
Yeah. Can you guys each, maybe just going down the line, Sarah, if you want to start, how you came on board the book?
Sarah Val couldn't do it.
Right.
So
say no more.
I was the backup Sarah. I say yes to anything she says no to, which has led to some awkward interpersonal situations, but I've met some really nice guys. And Tom called me up, and I was just finishing my my memoir, and I was like, which was like depressing to write, and I was really excited to get to write something fun. So that's how that happened.
Let's see. I got involved actually because Tom actually emailed me and was like, hey, what do you think about doing this book? And I was like, awesome. And because also he works with Steve Wacker, who is an editor over at Marvel, and I know Steve back from our S&M club days, so Gross. We all
we used to run an S&M club here. That's yeah. why we, how we got the name.
Yeah.
It used to be the thing. And so I've wanted to write for a long time. I wanted to write comics for a long time. In fact, in my college years, I actually wrote my own comic and drew my own comic and got rejected by quite a few people.
What was your comic? What was your comic?
You want to know what my
comic was about?
It was called Popper Jack and Cracker. And it was about these two alien guys. It was about these two alien guys who were implanted into a space army. They're implanted into a space army by this race, and they were trying to see which one made the better soldier so that they could end up killing one and mass producing the other. And so they had no idea that that's why they were there. They're just like these kind of screw-up guys in the space army. So it was a really good idea at the time, but I didn't have the skill to actually execute it well.
Okay. Do you want to, Tom, would you pick it up for Mark?
I'll certainly.
No. We need an answer right now.
Yeah, come on. This is why we had this show.
So many things I have to do in a day. We'll get to it.
All right, cool.
Wow, Elliot. That's like a packaged editor's answer.
Wrote that in advance.
Yeah, Elliot, how about you? How'd you end up on Shame Itself?
I had written a couple stories for Marvel with Tom as the editor, and he asked me if I wanted to write some things for this, and I did.
It's an exciting story.
Wow, this is great, guys.
How we did this.
Install lines.
Would Elliot get pass the job down to you?
What?
Did another Elliot pass the job down to you?
Yeah. It's cool. It was a callback to what I was saying.
Oh, the song.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know you guys.
I was busy thinking of my brilliant answer.
You guys are comic book writers, so we'll explain what comedy is for a second and callbacks.
Elliot Gould was going to originally write on it, and so they needed another Elliot. He spelled his name the same.
Yeah, this is basically a silver medal competition. They even want me to edit it. Yeah, I'll give you a little more background on how the book came together.
I think we're covered.
No, it's too late.
You relax. Hey!
Thank you. Wow, someone finally put Boogie Man in his place.
It's about time, right? He's in a bath.
Jesus! That's
free audio recording. Who cares?
Sound of lights turning
right,
off.
I'm talking about this book. I swear to God.
I will turn this show around. About a year or so back, I guess. Maybe a little bit longer than that.
How much longer do you think?
That was like May of 2010. Because it was the same weekend I saw Iron Man 2. There you go.
Energy.
And we were talking... Yeah.
Nope.
You can get on DVD now. Wow. And we had done a couple anthology books in the last couple years, Strange Tales and Girl Comics. I worked with Elliot, I worked with Wyatt Cenac from The Daily Show, and I wanted to do a comedy anthology. I enjoyed what they came up with working with them. But just timing-wise, it didn't really work out. It's a tough sell in comics to sell a comedy book, at least from Marvel's end of it. Traditionally, when we sell anything, we use the word fun in a solicit. They're like, oh, don't put fun in there. No one will buy it. It's
probably all ages if it's so fun.
Yeah, and who wants to read that stuff? Yeah.
People don't like fun comics.
It's got to be earth-shakingly serious.
Yeah, exactly. So we put together a pitch, and Axel Alonso and Tom Brevoort both really like the story ideas, and if there's a story idea that's in the book where the Vision CPU is hacked by... he opens an email for a Nigerian prince. And that apparently made Axel Alonso laugh out loud when he read it on the page. But the problem was, how do we sell it? And this was around the time we're ramping up for Fear Itself, and Tom Brevoort suggested maybe if you can figure out a way to tie it to that. Last year we did a book called Captain America, Who Won't Wield the Shield, and we found we have a little bit of success playing off that. So I came back with Shame Itself, and they liked that idea. And I realized Wyatt and Elliot are only two people, so two people are right.
You realize that late in the process?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I sent this to the printer and I thought, I need to fill these pages right now.
You sent a bunch of blank pages.
Sarah and I got their cast-off work.
Pretty much.
I thought to myself, how can I use this door to bring people up? Bring talented comedians who I find... Let me finish.
That's a much better answer than your first
one. Four stories that were not in the book.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, we need other people. It can't just be Elliot's show again.
Yeah.
This ego.
And you mean Elliot Gould, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, this is before I even brought in. Yeah.
After he quit.
So what else are you guys doing with Elliot Gould?
Nothing. That wasn't real.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, liar!
Joke.
All right, I have no idea what's going on anymore. Do you guys have
any? Well, I'm pitching Fool's Gould, which is Elliot Gould's
best project. Cool. It's not a
comic. No, it's not.
It's just making fun of Elliot Gould to his face.
Yeah. It's more of a per one-man show for a one-man audience. Not a lot of money. In fact, I'm probably going to get arrested.
Yeah, so let's talk about the content of the book a little bit. You sort of touched on that, but if any of you guys want to talk about your story, why... This book is going to be awesome. You do?
My story hinges on a cum joke, and it was
just
a
like fear itself.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a cum joke that my dad suggested, and it was post-coital when he suggested it, but he was like, wouldn't it be funny? We were driving in the car with my mom, and he was like, wouldn't it be funny if there was a joke where, like, somebody, like, saw, like web goo, but they thought it was something else. And it took me a beat to be like, Dad, are you making a cum joke in the car? We drive a Suburban. This is awful. And he was like, yeah, I am. So it hinges on a cum joke. And it includes Flash Thompson, which is exciting. And also a beloved science teacher, Mr. Warren, is there. Who is special. I went into the vault and I said, this one.
We get a lot of Warren heads at the show. Every week.
They make the jackal noise, so you know
so
they're fans.
Intense. Yeah. So that's what mine is about. It's about a cum joke.
Awesome. What cum jokes are your guys' stories about?
Well, mine is about the same cum joke, but just told from the point of view of the cum stuff.
That's a lot of like, whoa!
My story is I don't know how to explain it without spoiling it. Well,
it's set right in the height of fear itself. There.
It's set right in the height of fear itself.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's
the climax.
I can tell you the basic premise without spoiling it because it's like a really fun read. Basically, I think it's hilarious how villains are always like trying to take over the world, and I was like, and there's so many villains that do that every once in a while. I was like, what if they just all attacked on the same day and they didn't schedule it?
It was uncoordinated.
So like, yeah, like different
villains.
They didn't
check the Google Doc.
Yeah, like different villains tried to take over the universe on the same day, and so like while one was trying to take over the universe, they were interrupted by another and another and another.
Cool.
I like that.
It's great.
Awesome.
It's very funny. And no, because I wrote it.
Elliot, what about you?
I don't have any cum jokes in mind, but I do have a bunch of fart jokes.
Yeah!
So, for the family audience.
Yeah. That's a young person's cum, the fart.
There's a story where, Mr. Fantastic and the Thing go to their college reunion, and it goes very poorly. And there's a couple stories that Wyatt and I co-wrote he and I are discussing things about superheroes and wondering why certain things don't happen, or if they do happen, we don't see them. One of those involves the X-Men farting a lot.
So you guys are in the comic book?
Yeah, it's a dream come true.
You wrote yourself in.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah.
So it's basically Grant Morrison and you guys.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, in terms of the Pantheon, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the
no
content.
No one else has ever contributed to comics.
And appeared in the medium.
Yeah.
And
appeared
in them.
I just want to point out that my story also has a dick joke in it involving Wolverine and Thor.
Wow. Interesting.
Nice. Does Wolverine pop three claws out of his dick?
Oh, come on.
Whoa.
No. Look, you saw that joke coming before it even left your mouth.
Yeah, I honestly thought Pete was asleep over there.
I have a question. Pete doesn't like cum jokes, first off. But
that's not a question.
Really?
Did you, huh? Yeah, no, he really...
Wait, you don't like the cum jokes?
Pete, come on!
Really?
Why?
Yeah, I mean, sure, they're great.
I don't mind. Did you guys get to see sort of the outcome of Fear Itself before the rest
right.
of before the rest of us to help you write the stories? Did you know what was going on? Were you involved in any planning of that?
No.
Yeah.
I did get to read some of it before other people read some of it, remember?
Yeah.
He sent me a couple of issues to read. Sorry,
nice.
Guys.
Yeah. Very special.
It wasn't relevant to anything you guys did.
No, it was just like... It
hampered you.
It was fun. Well, actually, One of the characters in Period Self appears in my story, and so it was fun to read it and then get his voice. So that was nice. That was cool.
Cool. Let's actually skip ahead and talk about something.
Yeah, just before you talk about their stories a little bit, I'll also add Michael Kupperman and Kurt Braunohler also have stories.
Yeah.
Nice. Kupperman does a prose story about the X-Men. You just gotta read it. It is insane to read. Anyone who's ever read anything by Michael Kupperman, this is as vintage Kupperman as it gets. Just off the wall, doesn't make sense, and it's beautiful. And then Kurtz was deals with the dating world of superheroes. It's a couple pages from a superhero dating advice magazine, and it has a great cover of the Hulk screaming, "Girls smell drive Hulk crazy." That doesn't tell you that you should buy this book.
I read that backstage, man. That was hysterical.
That has probably the most depressing joke in the book. Point too. Oh, God.
Did you read mine?
There was some time.
I look forward to you reading it and making an angry face at the end. Hating it.
Did you read my story?
What's the time?
What about my shot?
It's like they're all your kids. I had a soccer game.
Yeah.
But the kids who aren't here, I read their stuff. Yeah. They did a great job, though.
Just
guys.
No time to read your stories, kids. Can't see you.
Only you guys could be like her.
Before we move on, if I could say something on the subject of claws coming out of Wolverine's penis.
Of course, always.
No, I read your college thesis.
why has there never been a porno where instead of claws, Wolverine has penises that come out of his hands? It'd be like Edward Penis Hands, the real porno.
Yeah.
But updated for today's modern audience.
Well, I will say
it for the next book.
When I watched Edward Penis Hands, I was like, this wasn't real enough. We need more reality in this. And I think you're right.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was pretty real. Slow motion shot they did of Edward Penis Hands jizzing into the air and that girl spinning around was pretty realistic.
You like in pornos, just not in comics.
Let's turn this over to the audience. Edward Penis Hands.
Have you ever seen Cyrano, the Cyrano's one with the nose penis? That one is hilarious. If we can just keep talking about porn for one second.
Absolutely.
My favorite thing about porn is porn that is really, really funny. I don't know why I like it so much, but I love any porn that's hilarious, and that makes me
super
happy.
Sad porn.
Well, I mean, most porn is like straightforward, like, I'm tearing you up, girl, you like this, but I like porn where stuff goes wrong, where people aren't doing the right thing. My favorite thing I've ever seen in a porn movie was these two girls, they were about to have sex with one another, and they had a strap-on, and they had to connect the dildo to the strap-on, and they could not get it connected, like, slamming on the floor, and I don't know why they left this in the porn.
Yeah, this sounds like a documentary.
Trying to get it,
and they're like,
it
won't
come, it was hilarious. That's the best porn I've ever seen.
This is a good place for me to plug the fact that I will be co-hosting the Fleshbot Awards on November 11th with Stoya and a special appearance by Belladonna.
Wow!
And I'm going to be dressed as a nun and as DJ Lance Rock. Those are the two costumes I bought for it.
Awesome.
This is really great promotion excited. For my book, guys. Marvel, owned by Disney, will love it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So you guys are doing a signing tomorrow, right? At Jim Henson's?
Jim
Henson's Universe.
Yes. Great.
It's so funny, but it's also poignant. We love it.
Aww, well, that's cool. What time is that? It's 8 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. I'm going to show up at 8.
Over.
Yes.
I'm going to show up at 8. I don't want to see you guys.
Wow.
Was that wrong?
Well, I mean, they are here right now.
They're here right now. I don't need to see them.
It's been a very contentious
I don't understand. Why go at all?
Just to be rude. Guys, thank you so much. I'm very excited to read the book. Comes out tomorrow, so everybody go pick up Shame Itself, number one. Yeah. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, let's keep it low-key, guys. Let's keep it low-key.
I miss Weed and Wednesdays. Do you guys still do those?
What?
Do you still do Weed and Wednesdays?
Weed and Wednesdays?
Yeah, you used to do that, like, 3 years ago.
Weed and Wednesdays, we would talk about Joss Whedon on the video show, I think.
I think it was Comic Book Club. Do you like how I just completely fucked the flow of your show?
No, that's fine.
Well, we did that
4 years ago.
I mean, I was a fan a long time ago.
We've been doing this a long time. My memories go back like 2 weeks max.
We don't remember.
Though I will say, on Joss Whedon and Alex's obsession with him, Alex did a blog post for MTV, I think it was, or
probably.
Maybe a tweet, where he had found pictures of Joss Whedon wearing the same shirt like 4 different times and was like, "Isn't he weird?" And I was like, "No. You're weird."
In that blog post, which wasn't at MTV, it was on my personal blog.
Oh, cool.
MTV was like, "Yeah, listen, that's time and money in your obsession with his shirt."
They actually fired me. I noticed that he was
wearing... Definitely explain yourself.
Did they really fire you? They really fired you?
No, that was a joke.
Okay.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah,
that was...
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll keep explaining. Stay tuned an hour after this where we do explaining Comic Book Club.
It's my new one-man show, Fool's Ghoul.
I think it's interesting that someone who reads comics where everyone wears the same clothes all the time.
Yeah. I do have a problem with it.
The person wears the same shirt multiple times.
Also, as comic fans, we wear the same clothes all the time.
Yeah. I've worn the same shirt every single show we've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like his shirts and I like him. Let's move on. All right. Let's move on to the stack.
We already did the music part.
Okay. We each made a pick, some comic that particularly stood out to us that we really liked this week, so we're going to go to bat for it. First one is Pete's pick, which is Spaceman.
Yeah.
Number one by Brian Azzarello and Juan R. Riso.
What was that?
What?
Good shipment?
No, never mind.
Yeah, good shipment.
Pete,
you want to talk about this book?
First of all, it's $1, all right, which is amazing.
Mm.
Brian Azzarello, who is a crazy person in real life and in this comic, and for $1, you can't beat it. It's an interesting story. It's really crazy. It's really out there. And it's a comic for $1.
How much is it, Pete?
Really?
$1.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
Pete also eats at Subway once a day.
Yeah. What did you think?
I have to save up for a week to eat at Subway.
Do you want to give a rundown?
Page 5.
Nice. Oh.
Azzarello and Riso paired up together on this. This is their first book since 100 Bullets. Well, I guess they did the Batman book.
I guess.
But this is their first sort of creator-owned.
Ongoing. Yeah.
And it's really good. It's set in a post-apocalyptic future where people speak differently, and it's sort of hard to read. That.
Yeah,
it's not surprised you like.
But
I didn't say I like that part.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
The actual concept of the book, just so you know, is about a guy who's been genetically engineered to go to Mars, comes back to Earth, has no use anymore. Basically, he has no purpose. He's living day to day.
Relate to that.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
There's magic happening. There's magic.
That's the preview for an entirely different book.
What book is it?
Nice. Yeah.
But I also really like this book. I thought it was great.
The preview looks great.
Yeah, the preview was really good. I didn't actually read the book. I have a big problem with future slang. I got over it by the end of the book, but it's real annoying to read that stuff.
You got over it by the end of the book? That's amazing.
It's $1.
Yeah, it's insane. Right. Cool. Yeah.
Great.
Wait.
Future slang.
No,
did not like it.
Well, future slang, it's tough to read sometimes, and it feels a little forced. Here, I think it actually works, and it makes sense. It's kind of an extension of internet speak, in a way.
Oh, so you particularly reading future slang.
Yeah.
But not like when Joss Whedon does it. You like
it. Well,
oh, yeah. What's up?
He does a lot of future slang.
He does.
Not if he's wearing the same shirt, I don't like it.
And Firefly, it's just all over it.
Yeah.
That's the exception of Bruce the Rule.
I like it in Firefly because it's like a couple words. In this, it's like in a few hundred years, we all speak like crazy language.
Probably will, though.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The thing that I actually liked about it that I thought was interesting and not overstated is they have the people who are of means or richer and, you know, a little of a higher class speak kind of like how we do now, but the lower classes, the speech has kind of devolved a little bit. It's become a little bit of shorthand. So that's kind of a thing that's going on, an undercurrent that I do think is an interesting thing that they're playing with.
Well, that sort of happens in real life, like the poor's tend to develop their own weird pigeon sub-dialect that is impossible to understand, whereas the riches, like us, speak proper English. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, put me, lady.
Well, thank you. Are you guys going to the champagne brunch after this, by the way?
Yes, we are.
Lovely.
The champagne brunch.
And then I'm going
to have to drive my gold car over the homeless. Sorry.
But then I'm going to go down to the roof of a building over Wall Street and just pee. Just pee downwards.
Yeah, you cockupy Wall Street.
But
oh.
Again, thank you so much for buying my book. It's really great.
I really don't think anyone's going to buy this listening anymore.
Yeah. No, buy Shame Itself.
Speaking of listening, that's the better choice.
Yeah. This is a bit we're doing to get ourselves ashamed so that you buy Shame Itself, number one. All right, let's move on to Justin's pick, which was Wolverine and the X-Men, number one. By Jason Aaron and Chris Bachalo? Bachalo?
I say Bachalo.
Bachalo? Okay. What did you think about this book?
I've been insulting you for 4 years.
Here we have the new sort of X-Men status quo. It looks really fun and a weird mix. It reminds me of Grant Morrison's run a little bit and like the weird, a lot of weird ideas. There's like a floating mushroom over the X-Mansion and stuff. Yeah. But
so by weird ideas you meant Mario Brothers ideas.
Yeah. And by that I mean like great ideas. Yeah. Like finally
like amazing ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you say is the Bowser of the X-Men?
Maybe Mr. Sinister in the near future, it looks like. I've been reading this. Real Bowser.
He's a real Bowser. This is a great book. I love this book. You know, I went in with somewhat high expectations, and it exceeded them. I think the art is great. The characterizations are great. One of the things that I really love about this book, which I know Pete probably wasn't totally a fan of, is it doesn't go really into the action until the end, but it managed to make a fascinating, exciting story all about the bureaucracy of running a school, which I know it's not
something that happens.
I know that's not really selling it, but I feel like this is such a unique, exciting comic book to read.
Well, and so much happens is why it doesn't ever seem like, oh God, what's happening? It's because it's like, boom, boom, different characters, different reactions.
And that's just that's a great strength of Chris as an artist. He can take something that in the hands of someone else might be a mundane scene, and just the style he adds to it will make it something so exciting to look at and engaging, and it helps bridge the gap on that exposition. That's one of the great things working with him.
Or he just draws like some frogs in the corner of the which is still cool.
That guy's insane.
Yeah. And the Age of Apocalypse books he did, man, there were like a million frogs.
Actually, I'm glad you told me about this book. I'm going to have to go get this because I thought that it was like going to be based on like the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, because those books are usually lighter. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, some of them are really still fun too, but I thought it was going to be a totally different book, and I'm glad that I know now that this is awesome. Although the other X-Men must be pissed. They're like, come on, we're the X-Men, not Wolverine.
They
and the
are.
X-Men, dude. Come on, dude.
They are very upset.
It's a question mark in the Mysterians.
There you go. Pete, what did you think about this book?
Will they or won't they get their teaching license was a really interesting thing to focus on the whole book.
What does it feel like to have Wolverine worrying about his professorship?
It's not my Wolverine, that's for sure.
Not my president.
Yeah, exactly.
Your Wolverine, is that the one with the penises coming out of the head?
That was our side that came up.
Your side.
I didn't realize it was the three of us versus the four.
I did really think it was cool how the new Hellfire Club just walked right up to Wolverine and was like, hey, guess what? I'm running shit, and then kind of blew the whole place up.
Yeah, Wolverine didn't do anything. How'd you feel about that?
That was pretty upsetting.
To a kid, and you hate kids, honestly.
Yep, true. Can't wait to run into Zelvin's daughter in the street.
I'm glad we got that into the microphone.
She'll fucking take you down.
One fun little story about this book. Ellie Pyle, who's an assistant editor at Marvel, her roommate is a PA on the one-man show Hugh Jackman's doing in town. And she gave him a copy of this book, and he was very excited. And he's like, oh, that's me on the cover. Hugh Jackman being one of the rich people, like us.
I like to think that he no longer believes that Wolverine and Hugh Jackman are different people. And he's so angry all the time because he can't pop his claws.
He's just undercover as a Broadway star. But really, at night, he's killing people in that room.
Yeah, he's like Wolverine from that story where Wolverine in the future, what was it called? With a Hulk.
When he was
called Old Man Logan. Yeah. That's who he is. That's Hugh Jackman.
Cool. All right.
Song and dance.
And he sings. What he sings.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, let's move on to my pick. Last pick of the day, which is Dead Man's Run, number 0 by Greg Pak, which I can tell all of you read.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, this audience is either all in or not at all.
I'm a big fan of Greg Pak.
This is. I really enjoyed this book. I wasn't sure quite what to think going in. The idea here is Greg got kind of hired, sort of pitched by Gail Ann Hurd, who produces The Walking Dead, did the Terminator movies, a bunch of other things. The idea is there's a jailbreak from hell, which to me kind of sounds fun, but maybe a little generic. But I love what Greg did in this book. I really think. It's a fun, different take on hell. It's a cool world that he's looking at. And there's some kick-ass characters in there. I really think it's exciting, and I can't wait to read it.
I was confused. Like, I thought hell was as bad as it can get. Like, there's jail in hell, too. It gets worse. There's like, well, at least I'm not in jail.
Yeah. That's a great point. I can't really. That's a win. What do you have to do to get thrown into hell? Yeah. Are you just too nice?
Oh man, I do. I'm excited for this. Like I was excited for the idea of it, but the problem is the Zero issue doesn't. I don't feel like it teases me enough to get me on board. It's like a page.
You like to be teased throughout.
It's a page and then there's an ad. Then it's a page and then there's an ad. It really kind of.
The ads are teasing for other things.
Yeah, that's literally a nonstop tease.
It's not an ad for it. It's a different ad for
it. You would like it if there was an ad in the middle of the story that was like, keep reading. Please, please keep reading.
Please, please don't put this book down.
That's a little... that's a book that doesn't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, what did you think about this book?
I liked it. It was... I want to see how it keeps going. Like, I get it. Like, it's a prison, and then it's like, holy shit, it's also hell. Think about it. So I want to see, like, oh, I get that. Let's think about some more things.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what number one.
Yeah, I think it was successful as a Zero issue setting up the situation, and I think it's fun, and I can't wait to read more.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, we are going to move on to the next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Booth
Man. Wow, a wireless microphone.
We heard about these from Madonna.
Where did he get Beetlejuice's robe from?
His dead body.
Wow. I don't know. God.
Sorry to remind you of that dark time.
I guess it's 4-on-4 now, huh?
Cool.
So first question. How much do you spend on comics a week?
Oh,
jeez.
Oh,
God.
Don't remind me.
I used to spend, back when I made more money, when I had money, I used to spend $167 a week.
Jesus. Oh,
wow. Well, also, Pete would bag and board everything.
Yep.
Right, and then you'd bring it to the... comic book creating people and have to pay money to them too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So how much would you say on average a $3.99 comic book would cost you? At the end of the day?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably $1,000? What do you think? $2,000?
Ballparking it?
Yeah.
I spend right now probably like $70 on a regular week.
Yeah.
I know, people are stunned. It's a lot.
Is that with discount at Midtown?
No, that's pre-discount.
Pre-discount. Yeah, I'm kind of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a lot. I don't know. It's
too much. But comics books are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
On an average week, I spend $0. But there is the occasional, there's like 2 weeks out of the year where I'll just lose my shit and spend like $150. But that's like 2 weeks out of the year.
Literally lose your shit.
Yeah, I will poop. I will lose it and go, where's my poop? Oh, it must be at the comic book store. And then I get distracted and buy a lot of things.
That's so great for the comic book industry.
I know. I'm really.
That's also like a series of micro strokes.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. What I usually do is I buy a lot of collections. I love comics when you can read a bunch at once. And so I generally spend like $20 to $40 I would say every 2 weeks. Not a huge amount, but like sometimes I'll be like, oh, look at all these Runaway collections, and so I'll just get them all at once. And so that'll go into hundreds of dollars sometimes. If I binge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then purge.
Purge, yes. Poop them all out afterwards.
A lot of poop.
Yeah.
Poop. I'm going to give an answer that does not involve poop.
We'll see if you can.
Get off our show.
No, it's the curse of the couch. I spend probably between $20 and $30 a week on comics.
Good.
Good.
A nice amount.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not crazy.
Fair. That's a fair answer.
It's fine. We do a show.
I found the key to happiness is to buy somewhere in the realm of $500 to $600 worth of comics a week. Yes, all Marvel titles. Throw a DC in here or there. You know, Vertigo's pretty good. Boy, this is the part where everyone hates me. I mean, I get the Marvel stuff for free. I'd say, in a month, I stop by the store probably twice in a month and spend maybe $40-$50 a visit. But buy comics, guys, because I need this job.
Or work in the comics industry.
No, just buy them.
Oh.
Cool. I have the work. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics from
Pete.
Let's get the next question.
Next question.
We don't clap for them.
Yeah, for the audience.
They're the poorest.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm generous.
We
care.
We do applause.
See, now they're clapping and they're confused.
Now they think they have to talk about their things.
Who would you be cool with your significant other to hook up with?
In general, is the easy answer Pete?
Nobody?
Yeah.
No, you have to pick someone.
Okay.
You mean a comic book character?
It could be.
Jimmy Fallon. He's got a good job.
So you would be okay with, well, at least he has a good job, sweetheart, so that makes me cool.
Well, I don't have a significant other, so this is already a dark.
Oh.
JT, don't touch me. Wow, you almost broke my car.
Oh, jeez. Pete, do you have an answer?
Yeah, my answer is nobody.
What about Wolverine?
No, that's still not cool.
Punisher?
But if Wolverine came over and he was like, bro.
Like, fuck you, Wolverine. No, you'd never say
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't Wolverine be like Bub?
What?
Wolverine
he'd like Bub.
My wife.
No, yeah, he'd probably say
Bub.
What if he had one claw here and one claw here and he was like, I'll give you one more chance.
Kill me, you son of a bitch.
You would let him kill me?
Yeah.
Then he's going to sleep with her anyways.
But you always said you want to be killed by Wolverine.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, there you go. Well, if I'm dating Silver Sable, like I say I will, then Dr. Doom.
So, if I'm getting it right, it's okay to cheat with this person is I can't stop you.
Well, you know, she had like a kingdom that was near Latveria, so it's like they sort of probably hooked up when they were kids. I don't know all the continuity. Yeah, he earned the title Doctor Doom by playing Doctor with Silver Sable. A little unknown corner of continuity. Yeah. Alex?
Kitty Pryde.
Nice.
Well, you want Kitty Pryde?
You just love saying Kitty Pryde.
No, he wants Kitty Pryde and his wife to hook up, is what we're saying.
I take it as you will.
You are
Cypher, I guess. Cypher. Cypher would also be okay.
Oh, careful.
I just respect him, but he has a good job.
He doesn't have a job.
So does
also,
Tom.
You and Cypher are equally powered, and he has a cool outfit. All the time.
That's why I'd be okay with it.
No, I'm saying she would choose him over you.
That's fine. Okay. As long as he's a good father to my daughter.
I'm going to go off-road here and
the Grand Canyon.
Recommend Craig Thompson's new book, Habibi, which is great.
Oh.
There's a lot of rapists in that book.
Oh.
And so I would be okay if my significant other, who I don't sort of have, except I do, were to hook up with them because I would know it wasn't consensual and that would make it okay.
Oh, wow. So your answer is a rapist from Habibi.
Yeah, an Arab rapist from Habibi.
Cool.
I think that book is pronounced Hey Baby.
Wow. That's a very limited audience for that joke.
Thank you. Victor?
I would let my significant other hook up with MODOK.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Because she's going to run around with me, fucking Punisher. Don't make her. I want her to have a good time. And he can't be good in bed at all.
Yeah.
He can't be good. And where's his penis?
Tricky.
That's the question she's going to ask you.
Elliot?
Comics answer, Richard Salas Peculia, who is the cutest girl in comics. And non-comics answer, Joel Hodgson.
Joel.
Wow.
Yeah. On TV's Mystery Science Theater.
You.
Then I'm changing my answer to Frank Cunniff. Who from MST3K would you let your partner fuck?
Oh, Mike Allison.
Cambot's not getting any.
Tab, you have an answer to this.
Hugh Jackman. I'm just gonna go back to that.
Yeah.
You'll never get her or him back.
That's true. Or in comics, I forget the name of the character, but the lead guy from Arcudi's A God Somewhere. Because again,
oh
you
my
can't
God,
stop him.
Yeah, no, you can't.
He'll just put you in the hospital and then rape your wife.
Wow.
It's a great book. You should read it.
Yeah, it is excellent.
Thank you for the rape.
I brought
call
it all back.
Bringing it around.
Nice.
Yeah.
I look out for my people.
That's why we're friends.
I like how you were first being like, guys, thanks for plugging up. Now you're talking about rape.
It's over.
It's what this show does to people. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Great question.
Oh.
What is the hardest part of transitioning to comic book comedy?
Oh.
Yeah. Do you guys want to take this?
It was hard to... to work in a visual medium was weird because I had just come off of writing this funny yet touching memoir, which is available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now. It's called Agora Fabulous, Dispatches from My Bedroom. No big deal. So I had just finished that, and so you really have to paint the picture in someone's mind, and then suddenly having to... that was weird. It was really weird and awkward making that transition, which you can enjoy in my story, I Hate Peter Parker.
I actually had to answer this question recently because it was in the list that you sent me of questions. But it was actually easy
questions.
For me. Yeah, he's asking
you
questions all the time.
I know. Like, guys, I want to get on your question roundtable.
Why is the sky blue? Another one, Tom.
Yeah,
what
time is
it? It was easy for me because I write a bunch of screenplays, comedy screenplays, and so the format that I chose to write the comic book in was very similar to a screenplay. And so I was like writing the visual cues and writing the jokes panel by panel like I would and thinking like I would for a film for shots. And so it was luckily that was a skill that I could bring to the table for writing. I don't think it was that much of a change. The major difference for comic books was being much more descriptive about what specifically is happening and what you see. Because when you're writing a script for a film, you're going to let that happen on set more, and like you're going to have a designer to help you design what you see. And in this case, I was just like, I have to be like, okay, this is exactly what's happening, and this is what people see.
I was talking to Kevin Smith about this because I did his podcast a few weeks ago, and he said essentially the same thing. And he was like, if I'm writing a screenplay, like chances are I'm going to be the person directing it, and I don't need to tell. And you direct as well, so it's like you don't need to tell yourself what you're going to fill in, but it becomes really detailed and intense when you have to tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Especially
Tom
a dumb Brevoort. Artist.
Not dumb artist.
Not cool, dude.
Tom Brevoort has a great shorthand for it, which is to use a lot for people coming from film and television, which is the difference is in film and TV, a page is a measurement of time.
Yeah.
In a comic, it's the measurement of space. And it's figuring that out is a very difficult transition, I think, for a lot of people. Alex, you might have found this yourself. When you did that wonderful, I can't remember the name of the miniseries a couple of years ago. It's a normal one with Power Pack, and it's really good.
That started out so well.
That went downhill.
But it's a challenge that they run into. There'll be some very dialogue-heavy panels, and you realize that on the printed page, that doesn't necessarily lend itself to moving the page along. And I was impressed with all of these folks really did a good job of figuring out every page has to have a moment, or every panel has to have a moment occur in it that's important to drive
really?
The story.
I didn't realize
it
that.
Just,
it just happened.
It was like magic. Nice.
No big deal.
All right, very cool. Good question. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
I think I didn't get to answer you guys.
That's okay. It was going to be a really good answer, but we don't have time.
Okay,
you'll always
cool.
wonder.
No.
Nice, yeah. Well, that's one. You got to leave them wanting more.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get the next question.
Yesterday, I was in the bathroom, and someone wanted to talk to me about how great Wolverine and Punisher were. Pete, was that you?
Yes.
If you may remember last week, Pete, you talked about how you every time you go to the bathroom, you end up talking to the people in the bathroom.
Don't sit on your microphone.
I turned it off first before I sat on. I feel like that's something that I do talk about a lot, but I don't specifically remember that bathroom conversation.
Huh. So the answer is yes, really.
Not really a question.
Yeah.
What would you assault somebody in the bathroom to talk to them about?
What would you?
No,
you know,
assault them in the
not assault. It's not actually assault.
Like in
thank
American
you so
History
much
X.
But, what would drive you to curb somebody? Would you say? No. What would? What has ever made
you? What are
you
doing right now?
No, I'm gonna keep. I'm too far down this road.
He's spinning straw to gold.
Yeah. What has ever made you so incensed and so angry that you've had to break all societal norms to tell somebody about?
Well, chicks will talk about shit in the bathroom, not literal shit, but we'll talk about.
Sometimes.
We'll talk about guys, like strangers. We'll talk about guys, like some girl will be like, ugh. Guys, my boyfriend. Oh,
no way.
Yeah, no, it happens.
Seriously?
And also, if you walk into the bathroom and a girl is crying, which happens not infrequently at the club, you can be
the
like,
comic book club.
Sweetie, do you need some tissues? And you'll end up talking to girls.
Wow.
Or we'll talk about I know talking to girls disgusting. And then we make out and finger bang.
Gross. Gross.
Yeah.
Finger bang.
Is there? Are you okay over there?
That was great.
He's gonna start crying soon.
Wonderful.
I was in a bathroom before, and
me too.
And I don't like conversations while my penis is in my hand. And so I was at a urinal, and this guy at the urinal next to me was like, "Hey man, what movie were you in?" And I was like, "And this is not the time."
Was he talking to your penis?
Hey. Excuse me,
and his
sir.
Penis was like, "Well, I'll tell."
It was called Edward Penis Hands.
Also Lethal Weapon 2.
Horrible penis voices.
We think penises talk like monsters.
That's what they
talk like.
Hey,
come get me.
Out of their tiny slit mouths.
Come get me. Is it like gingerbread?
I'm elusive. Find me.
I think penises are just like, finally, fresh air. Oh.
I think we finally explained why you're single.
Yeah, because my penis sounds like that.
Yeah, come get me.
He's running away. Yeah. So I didn't create the character.
Justin, you got to run towards, not run away.
You're right. Emotionally, or you mean penis-wise?
Penis-wise.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free questions.
I think that's it for the prizes, right?
Huh? Yep.
Yeah. Be sure to sit on your microphone. We got that. Rest of the questions are going to be a lightning round, so first answer is correct. Let's hit it.
I'm not sure what this question means, but I'm going to say it.
Good, your last one's an anecdote, so.
Not brand Ekman comeback?
Forbish man.
Yes, you're talking about from like what the.
Absolutely not. Next.
Explain if you don't know what it is.
He's in the background of one of the panels.
That's right. He is in this book. So yes.
He has a very brief cameo.
This is a common ongoing comedy series from the mid-90s, I guess.
It was in the 90s, even earlier. I think Not Brand Eck was when we were in the 70s.
That was
they brought back What the. Yeah. They brought him back in that mid-90s. What the? Because there was a book called What If. Follow-up question.
And what?
I get it.
What the was like a comedy.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's get the next question.
All right, last one. How sad are you about the NBA lockout, especially Brennan?
I would say only Brennan.
I am incredibly upset about the NBA lockout. That's all I got to say. I thought the question was just how sad are you?
Do you want to talk about it?
Medium.
And I mean, pretty much as sad as I am about the NBA lockout.
That's what? The saddest thing in your life?
No, it's that they're equal numbers.
Oh, so. They got locked. What did they get locked out of? What?
The locker room.
The locker room? That's pretty sad.
They're playing with giraffes, apparently.
Oh, yeah, they're playing with giraffes and milk.
Nationwide, they changed the locks on the stadiums and no one can get it.
Oh, boy.
It's a labor dispute.
I'm really upset. They have to do something about that. Guys, that's it for your audience questions. Thank you. All right. You guys, it is time for our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, and it's pretty rocking. There's actually not a lot of news that happened this week.
Quiet week.
It was a quiet week. Last week was crazy, so I'm glad that it was a nice quiet week. But there was a new episode of Walking Dead on AMC on Sunday. So did you guys get to check that out? What'd you think? Some pretty crazy stuff happened.
Best episode of the season, I thought.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Did you get who didn't watch it?
Me.
So you don't want us to talk about it?
No.
It's very good. It's a Shane focused episode, I thought, and top to bottom, great.
And isn't there some kid, like, there's some fucking kid who has, like, freaks out or get? Like, I don't fucking watch it, but I learn about it on the Twitters, and I want that dude to put it on me, so I'm fine with anything that happens. You know the dude, the British dude who was in Love Actually?
Andrew Lincoln.
He's like, hey, I love you, and she was like, and then he kissed her, and it was great. That's the only thing I know
about.
I love
how you brought up Love Actually. Like, we watch that a lot.
that's his thing. I'm not a huge Walking Dead fan, but my manager actually is obsessed with it. And I have nothing else to say.
If you want
to
talk about Love Actually, I went to see it 4 times in the theater.
Oh, it's so good.
It's amazing.
Are you serious?
Why?
This is comic. We all talk about it later.
I want to know the answer.
What?
Four times.
The first time. Yeah, the first time I went to see it because I really wanted to see it.
Sure. Solo.
Why?
Because it looked like a goddamn beautiful picture.
It looked like a good movie. It was great. Second time, a bunch of friends wanted to see it, and I said, hey, I really liked it. I'll go back and see it with you.
Right. That doesn't seem true.
You're halfway through now.
Yeah. Third time was actually first date with my future wife.
First date.
No, seriously, it was the first date. Yeah, and the.
Did you lie to her and say that you hadn't seen it already?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
Well, because every other movie was chopping your heads off and things like that.
You lied to your future wife?
I did.
Your daughter is alive.
I haven't stopped lying about anything the entire time. Nice.
When you say future wife, you mean she was from the future?
She had horrible dialogue and he hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the poories. I was not a fan.
Oh, so after your first date, why was the fourth time? Not forget about the fourth time.
Yeah, I think we went to see it again.
Oh, you were like, we're going to make a baby.
It's a great movie. That was what we wanted to...
During the movie? Because you started crying.
Yeah, she broke up with me for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were talking about The Walking Dead, I think.
Did you like it?
Love Actually or The Walking Dead?
We know that you love Love Actually.
Walking Dead, I thought was great.
Your fourth viewing of Love Actually speaks to your enjoyment of it.
Yeah, I would actually say that this season is far better than the last season of The Walking Dead. It started out, first episode of The Walking Dead ever was amazing, went steadily downhill from there. This has been consistently better and better each episode. And the twist at the end of this particular episode, excellent.
Yes,
so can't
really
wait to watch
it.
No. Yeah. Just bad skin.
What a twist that would be. Everyone was in costumes the whole time. Yeah.
Well, let me say, to bring up another topic that happened, Robert Kirkman was on The View. You should go by. It's online. I think it's on Hulu. All the View women are dressed up in crazy costumes. And Whoopi Goldberg's first question is like, what are zombies? He's like, he very calmly explains what they are. And then another woman is like, that sounds like an eating disorder. Which is a terrible thing. And then later on, they take it very seriously as if it were a hot topic. And they're like, is there some sort of serum or scientist that can fix this? And he's like, well, you're missing the point of the whole thing. It's really very funny. You should check it out. There are other funny things. Whoopi Goldberg especially is crazy.
Sounds like a dream I would have had.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's funny. They're all in a costume, like crazy costume, and he has one like makeup gash across his face, and he's so uncomfortable. It's really very funny.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this. This is another bit of zombie news. I saw a report today that the zombie-based economy, which means movies and TV and everything, is currently at, what was it, $5.74 billion worldwide? And zombies... Yes.
Those people have suffered so much, I just want to say. Yeah. They deserve to get what they need. Yeah. They deserve reparations.
I'll be very happy
when
that market crashes.
Yeah, what do you want to see come... what do you want next?
I want something I don't like to come next, so that I don't have things taken away from me that I like.
Oh. Elliot. it suffers the most.
Everything I've loved in this world, vampires, Abraham Lincoln, zombies, have become so popular that I can no longer call them my own.
And also mashed up into one thing.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when Love Actually broke through.
That was my movie. I will not see it a fifth time now.
Yeah. But you liked it when it was an indie movie? Is that what you're saying?
I think we're going to move on to our next section. That's it for the Week in Geek!
Yeah!
Guys, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage, who's going to do a little bit of trivia. So hit it, Pete!
Yeah, Pete! All right, guys, this is the part where we get back to the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25? Yes, first hand up.
All right!
Come on.
This guy could buy 25 copies of Spaceman.
It's only a dollar. What's your name, sir?
I'm Jeff.
Very
Joe, audience no. Joe.
Nice.
Okay, so Joe, how this is going to work is I have three questions.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
If you get all three of these right, you will win a gift card to Midtown Comics.
Sounds awesome.
Now, I'm supposed to have that gift card here, but I forgot it. But I'll give it to you.
Okay.
All right? I promise.
I will give it to you.
All right. So, listen to the question, then listen to all three possible answers. You will get $25 free Midtown Comics.
Okay,
here we go. Question number one. Hey, by the way, today's trivia is on Shame Itself. For no reason.
Okay,
here we go. Shame Itself has the character Man-Thing do something he has never done before. Is it A, talk, B, settle down with a good woman to get a good job, or C, explain how he's different than Swamp Thing? So it is either A or it's B. And it's definitely not C.
I'm going to say A.
A is correct! Yeah. All right, one for one. Here we go. Okay, thank you for the music, please, man. The cover of Shame Itself features what Marvel hero in his underwear? Is it A, Thor, B, Iron Man, or C, Winston Churchill?
I'm going to say A.
A is correct.
Yeah.
All right, this is it. Last one. You nervous?
Super nervous.
Okay, here it is. Who is not in the Shame Itself event? Not. Is it A, the Hulk, B, Galactus is what I was trying to say. Or C, Marsha Warfield. Is it A, the Hulk, B, Galactus, or C, which probably makes the most sense, Marsha Warfield?
I'm going to say C.
C? Yes!
Yeah!
Something to think about for the next issue. Cody and Marsha, congratulations. After the show, we'll
yeah. He'll find you wherever you are.
He'll find you.
Yeah. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, so much great stuff coming
out. Let's say we're all looking for Shame Itself.
Thanks for taking my punchline. I really appreciate that.
I didn't see your script before the show.
Well, you know, we should compare notes.
I don't think so.
Fight more.
Stick around.
I'm excited because it's one of those things where comedy is tricky in comic books, so I'm really going to go out there and get Shame Itself because it's awesome.
Yeah,
we nailed it.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Do you have anything else you're looking forward to, Pete?
No, that's it.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Maybe a /. Okay, fine.
Feared Agent finishes its run tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Very excited to find out how that goes.
Yeah. Did you read the last issue?
Yeah.
Awesome, right?
But all of
no, just,
don't you dare.
I'm having conversation with you.
No. Okay.
It's
yes,
awkward.
I did.
Cool.
Comic book club.
It's great.
Three guys who hate each other.
You don't need to tell our audience that.
I'm really looking forward to one thing that I actually wanted to plug is Avengers Academy number 21 is coming out tomorrow, and it's kind of like a soft reboot for the series. If you haven't picked it up before, awesome series, one of my favorite series coming out. Also, another thing that I want to plug that you definitely should check out is Batman Noel, which I know has had those really annoying previews at the back of DC Comics.
Yep.
The book is really good. It looks really good. It reads really well. It's a great holiday gift to give people. It's a good Batman story. It's a good riff on A Christmas Carol. So definitely recommend both of those things. They're awesome. Sarah, what are you looking forward to?
Absolute Sandman Hardcover Volume 5 is coming out. And I'm pretty sure that when we're at the signing tomorrow, when we do the in-store, I can get my mom to buy it for me because I can't afford it on my own. But I'm like most girls with feelings, I'm a big Neil fan, and so I'm excited.
Cool. And plug something of your own. What should people check out?
Oh, you should order Agoraphobulous. Pre-order it. That is my memoir, and it's funny but sad, but then funny, and then at the end we all learn a lesson about love. And it is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as we speak, you guys.
Nice.
All right. Victor, what are you looking forward to?
I am actually looking forward to... I don't actually know what's coming out tomorrow, except for Shame Itself. Nor do I care. But I'm looking forward to going to the comic book store tomorrow and shopping my ass off.
Yes.
That's going to be a good time. Like I said, I like to get collections, and so I'm just going to see like what... I like Garth Ennis a lot. I like just anything ridiculous. You know what? I started off liking Garth Ennis, then I stopped liking him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Get back.
We'll see.
And Victor, plug some of your stuff. You want to plug World of LARP?
Oh, that's actually not for sale. Well, it is for sale, but we're talking to networks about it. But something that's, it'd be fun to watch, the trailer for World of LARP is this television show I created where I got together with LARPers, and I was just, I thought it would be a great idea to shoot people while LARPing like it was Lord of the Rings and add in visual effects when they cast spells on each other. And then I made a 6-episode documentary series where it's basically just like them LARPing but using all kinds of visual effects to make the world that they're imagining. But so it's like a reality series about their fake reality, which is...
That's awesome.
It's totally awesome. And if you go to worldoflarp.net, you can actually watch the trailer right now. But actually, I'm talking to networks about it right now, looking for a home for it to air.
Were you with them when they watched it? Did you show it to them, I guess?
I showed it to them.
They must have been like,
Yeah, exactly. We showed it to some of the I showed it to some people. I actually did an impromptu screening of part of it at Comic-Con to a few people. Their heads blew up. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it's a fun crazy show. It's awesome. It's probably one of the things I'm most proud of that I made. But I also made this movie called The Awkward Comedy Show, which is actually stand-up and animation and documentary with all like black comedians like myself who are not Def Jam, like all black comedians who are like more on the alternative end. And it's a really funny movie, and it's available on iTunes as well.
Did you digitally add the spells into that one?
What?
Did you digitally add the spells into that one, too?
I did. Like, just like explosions.
Elves.
You know when you go to the store, it's like lightning.
Cool. Elliot, what are you looking forward to?
Shame Itself.
Woo!
Also Shame Itself.
Mm-hmm.
Shame Itself. And Elephant Man. Mm-hmm. It's also coming out tomorrow. And I like that series a lot. And Avengers Academy is also really good. I agree.
Yeah.
So people should pick that up if they have any money left over after that. Shame Itself. And then Shame Itself.
Is Avengers Academy what I think it is? Is just like training people to possibly be in the Avengers?
Yeah, well, but it's really good.
Twist in that it's a group. You're focusing on one group of kids training to be Avengers, and you find out over the course of the series, and this is already publicly known, that they're actually the ones most at risk to become villains, and sort of focusing on them and keeping them on the right path.
At-risk teens.
Teens with superpowers.
Giant Man and Hawkeye and Tigress slapping them around. So.
And fucking.
And fucking.
All three of them.
It's Tiger and Giant Man.
Not in the book. That probably gets implied.
Okay.
Well, no.
Discretion.
Heavily.
Not in my version of the book.
Yeah.
Where I drew some stuff in. What?
Elia mentioned Elephant Men. I've never read the book, but just the title, Giant Sized Elephant Men Number One, I have to read that. So.
Very big.
That's very true.
It's a book about in the future. This is after a giant war in which animals like elephants, rhinoceros, and things were turned into animal men and fought a war with people. That war is over now, and the animal men are kind of trying to be entered into human society. And one of them is a detective. And it feels like a plot that like someone did on a dare. Like, they're like, I dare you to make this book. But there are a lot of good stories in it, and a few poignant tales as well.
I love a poignant dare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question. Are we all going to be at the signing tomorrow?
Three of you, yes.
And who else?
Michael Kupperman and Kurt Braunohler will be there as well.
That sounds
good. Along with Jacob Shabbat, Stephanie Buscema, and Dean Hatsfield, the artist who worked on the book, will be there as well.
Yeah.
So, come on out. Midtown Comics is a great store, and thank them for sponsoring. But tomorrow, stop by Jim Hanley's Universe between 6 and 8.
Support Comics.
I'll be there at 8.
It's all...
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
There you go. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out online at comicbookclublive.com. Next week on the show, next Tuesday at 8 p.m., we're going to have comedian Orrin Brimmer is going to be on the show. He's going to be talking about and showing off his new Batman short that he's premiering on College Humor the same day, I think, right?
Yep. Something
like that. So we're going to chat about that. He's been doing some awesome, short, funny Batman films there, so that should be good.
He recently shot a film with me. Which was the spearhead of my Make Me the Next Andy Rooney campaign. Has yet to bear any... We haven't gotten a reply from CBS yet, but if you watch that as well, along with this Batman stuff, and then send a letter to CBS telling them that I should be the next Andy Rooney.
I look forward to slowly watching you die over the next 50 years.
That's what you would get to do if I was the next Andy Rooney.
We could also do that without a TV. Cool.
I hope it's a requirement that you just have to dress up in an Andy Rooney costume every week. And just like his old leather face.
Eyebrows of death.
I'd probably wear him, yeah.
Cool. Be like a suit.
You'd slice off his face and wear his face?
Somebody
that guy's in the hospital right now.
They can't hire you. No, he sheds like a snake.
This show just got real dark. Pete, anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, we should get back to the penis stuff.
It's all right, guys. We'll have your notes after the show.
Friend us on Facebook so you can hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Sarah for being on the show. Yeah. Victor. Elliot. Tom. Boothman. Thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks.